The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
It's Wednesday, February 19th. God. Really stuck the landing on that one. And this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. What's up, guys? Shannon Young, Mr. 100 here with you. Week 5002 of the podcast, because it won't ever end. We're creeping up on episode 1000 legitimately. We're very excited. That is going to land sometime in March. It should be a Thursday show, which, as you can imagine, is probably going to be terrible. But tonight we're talking about wrestling, and with me, of course, is the five-star man, Asa Gray.
All five.
Allie, not actually drawing. What is she drawing?
A UFO. UFO.
Oh, good. Take us all the way to a better planet. And of course, the big D, Mr. Blue Chew, Dalton Anthony.
Yo. I found their email for that.
I'm gonna yell again. I'm gonna yell at him again.
I'm scared. I don't like rejection.
Then I will do it.
Yeah, if you like rejection, you probably shouldn't be in wrestling or any entertainment at all, right? Or anything in life. I've been rejected many times. I've been rejected more than an Arkansas crowd in high school applying to high schools.
There's not multiple.
You tried.
There's one.
It was the joke we did earlier.
That nobody was here for.
That went well the first time we did it. So
well,
I,
we.
If five-star ass. Before the show, on the pre-show, I'm going to make this really quick because I think it is kind of a funny story. Allie and I went to the Poppy concert, which is related to WWE wrestling because, you know, of course, Poppy has worked with NXT quite a bit. She was at the Portland show over the weekend.
Yeah.
She was actually at the Portland show the day after we saw her in concert here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome show. You can find out more about it on the pre-show or tune in tomorrow for After Dark. But there was a guy. So Allie and I sat towards, it was at Delmar Hall in St. Louis. We sat up more towards the doors. So that way we had kind of a better vantage point.
Yeah, you can see everything.
Yeah, and we weren't down like in the pit because some of those fans got a little raucous.
Oh,
well, you know?
Did they, Dad?
But there was this one guy who stood next to me against the wall. And like all of the people that were back there, because I couldn't see Allie's face. So like I literally sang along to every song at the concert except one that I didn't know as well.
I also sang along.
But I couldn't see her face.
Okay.
So all I could see were the people around me. And people were like jamming to the music and moving with it, but no one was really singing along with it. And thank God concerts are so loud because
yeah.
I was singing the entire time and hoping no one could hear me. But then there's
they could
this
all hear you.
In
every time
literally every single one of them, that's all they heard. The mic from her was cut.
And it was
what
just
you
me.
Heard was actually you.
And they were all pissed because they were like, God, who sings this song? Poppy,
let her sing it. Yeah.
But there was this one guy who was totally into it like I was, and I looked over at him. It was this African-American gentleman sitting against the wall by himself. Okay. And I noticed his hat was how do you pronounce it?
Los Ingobernables.
Yes, and he had some kind of wrestling shirt on. Do you remember what wrestling shirt he had on, Allie?
No, because I...
You didn't really see him as well.
Can you describe the wrestling shirt? I might be able to help you.
We cannot. But it was a wrestling shirt. That's all I remember. But he had the Day Japan hat on.
Los Ingobernables, yeah.
Yeah, and he was super into it, and he was singing along with everything, too. And I just thought to myself, I wonder if he also, like, found out about her through wrestling.
Okay.
And if I wasn't such a coward, I would have been like, hey, I like the hat. You know, I'm a fan of wrestling, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about Poppy through wrestling? But I didn't. So it was just an awkward, like,
then he
friendship.
Been like, no, I followed Poppy's entire career. I'm not some wrestling poser.
I liked her better when she was that Poppy.
Money is a good song. I do like that song a lot.
And also, I'm always afraid that when I see someone in a wrestling shirt or hat or whatever, that I'll say, oh, do you like wrestling? I've been involved in wrestling. And they'll go, no, I don't like wrestling. Because that happened to me at GameStop. Dude came in an Undertaker shirt. And I was like, oh, you like The Undertaker? And he's like, no, I don't watch wrestling. And I thought, why are you wearing an Undertaker shirt?
It's a pretty badass shirt. I don't know which Undertaker shirt he was wearing, but
it doesn't matter.
It was pretty cool.
They're all good.
Yeah.
I actually don't have even the list pulled up because we've been talking about Poppy this entire time.
Taking souls and digging holes. If it wasn't for the fact that I look like me, I probably have bought that shirt.
If it wasn't for the fact that you looked like you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you can't walk around with the Last Kicker shirt.
Yeah. I did for a while.
At least you don't look like Pizza the Hut.
I did like that doppelganger. Yeah, see, you were gone from Facebook for a week and missed the doppelganger challenge.
12 days I was gone from Facebook, and a lot of people, no one has asked me, hey, why'd you come back?
It's because Twitter was not kind to you?
Well, because Twitter, no one cares on Twitter. Like, yeah. I can't keep up with Twitter. There are too many posts, and I can't go through them. So I'm not even going to attempt Twitter. And no one cares when I post anything on there, and that upsets me because I post some pretty good stuff sometimes. So I also use Instagram. And if my philosophy was, well, I'm not going to get on Facebook because I disagree with their privacy stuff and their political stuff, I'm still supporting Facebook by using Instagram.
Right.
So what's the point? And it's just difficult to manage all of the different things that we work with and mm-hmm. not be on Facebook.
Right.
So I'm back on Facebook. If you want to message me, I don't know why you would. But anyway, I think I've stalled long enough. Nope, still not loaded.
Oh, you are? Well, since we're talking about it, apparently me and Ace are going to get dick kicked by Kevin. Even though you talked just as much shit, Shannon, last week.
Oh, I know.
In the war.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's because, all right, so I don't want to say anything. But the truth is that Kevin's afraid of me. He's always been afraid of me because he knows that I'm a better podcast host.
Yeah.
I was a better ring announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason he worked at WSIL for so long was because I never applied there. Because I also went into journalism, and if I had gone into journalism, he would have been stuck doing like man on the spots where he's asking people what they think of the new ranch dressing at Buffalo Wild Wings. While I was...
Wait, hang on. Buffalo Wild Wings got a new ranch dressing?
Well, yeah. Didn't you hear?
This is more interesting than Kevin, so...
Yeah. My friends Boneless Thugs and Harmony told me about it.
Boneless Thugs and
Harmony. Oh, Kevin wants a war. Actually, we do. But like Kevin's hook, line, and sinker. We got him. But yeah, he said we're going to get dick kicked. And he was like, Shannon, we're cool. And I was like, he was the meanest one out of us.
Wait, did he say we were cool?
He said you two were cool.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, we're great. Like, I really respect everything he's done in the industry, in all the industries.
I wish I edited the show so I could cut that shit out right there.
You would just have me say something like, hello, Smithers. You're quite good. Hello, Mr. Hunsberger. You're quite good at turning me on.
No, nobody's ever said that to him.
You're saying Kevin's like an Arizona sun. He just dries everything up.
Please tell me that that's loaded.
It's loaded.
Okay, good.
It's fully loaded.
I can't keep going.
The problem with Kevin is that he's on one person show. We have like four people here that just.
Allie's the only one he still likes. She ain't
talking. Allie's gonna defect.
Holy shit, that would be
just
awesome.
Just in the middle of one of the podcasts, be like, actually.
And she pulls off her hoodie and it's a My 123 Cent shirt. And she gets in her car and drives all the way to Illinois and waits for him to do a show.
Illinois?
Yeah, I fucked that one up. Boy, I feel bad. I'm from there.
Well, you just gave him ammo.
I'm from there too. Oh. But I was from the terrible side of Illinois. Most of it. Hey, congratulations to Rob Blagojevich.
Oh, yeah, he got off. And not thanks to Blue Chew, surprisingly enough.
No, yeah. No. It was Orange Chew. Let's talk about wrestling. By the way, Kevin Hunsberger, in all seriousness, fuck you.
Dalton sounded like the penguin from Toy Story when his squeaker was broken.
At a certain point, like, I'm just picturing Kevin thinking that this is going to be like a fun, jabby little joke thing as he's pushing stop with like a single tear running down his cheek.
Oh, I'm going to die
this
weekend.
We're going to get a message from Chad, but like, hey, you guys
that's too much.
Like, you guys need to tone it down. Like,
no, Chad's going to love this show now. We're going to get plugs every week.
So
oh, God, that fucking hurt.
Legitimately, I think we should mention because of that reason that
we fucking hate Kevin.
Legitimately love Kevin.
Yeah, we love Kevin.
Because it gets to a point where you do a joke so well.
You're killing the business. You're bullshit mud podcast.
Mud podcast.
Holy shit.
Can we please
outlaw mud podcast? Killing.
Can we? Take that?
Oh, we love each other. Oh, we're friends. We're actually friends.
Back in the 1980s, whenever we had actual podcasts,
we wouldn't have been able to go to the same restaurant.
We couldn't even use the same RSS feed.
So I had a friend.
Is that right?
We
Doesn't matter. No one knows what that is.
We were making fun of this guy so much.
Yeah, Kevin.
No. It was when I was younger. I won't name any names. We were making fun of this guy. I think it was Bob is the guy that was worried, though. We were making fun of this guy so much that Bob legitimately thought it was all a ruse, and we were really making fun of him. Oh, God. He pulled me aside. He was just like, this isn't really about me. It was like the Bill from King of the Hill. So I don't want Kevin to go like him like, oh, those guys burn me good. And then later that night as he's showering, he's got his head against the wall. He's like, fuck, do they not like me?
I'm going to have to hug him on Saturday now and be like, we love you.
Literally everyone but this likes has been Kevin Hutzberger.
This is what happens when you attack us via TikTok.
Well, he attacked you guys.
Yeah,
he only jumped in because it doesn't matter what I do. No one ever gives a shit about me.
Well, you didn't talk any shit at all for some reason.
I can get away with saying whatever I want and no one ever gets mad at me.
He called me an ace.
Except the few times I don't do anything wrong and then everyone gets mad at me.
Yeah, he called me an ace of the Nimrods of professional wrestling, which like I need that to be a shirt now.
Did he?
Yeah.
What
it was
that?
On his show. The only thing that has less views than his TikTok.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, the thing that Heath Hatton does. I like Heath Hatton.
Is he going to rename that show My 1-2-3 Fans because that's all he has?
I really wish that this is like three people. Like, this is our big, like, this is the first, for whatever reason, the algorithm has hit. And we're going to have like a million new listeners on this. And they're just like, what the, and they all go to Kevin. Just
what a bunch of assholes.
They go to My 1-2-3 Cents because, like, these guys suck. They don't even talk about wrestling. We're like 15 minutes in.
We're 10 minutes in and we haven't talked about anything. Oh, my God.
We got one story.
Let's talk about professional wrestling. All right. MLW, Asa, claims to have, and this is important, Dalton. Stop laughing.
Yeah, this is actually a pretty big story.
I'm sorry,
too.
My 1-2-3 fans got me.
This is
the three of us. Allie
doesn't listen.
The things that Allie says off mic.
Oh my God.
Way worse about Kevin.
Crosses the line.
I didn't even know he was that ethnicity. Must be like his great grandma or something. She's from Jamaica. Anyway, let's not promote this one. MLW claims to have, quote unquote, an abundance of evidence against WWE regarding contract tampering. I'm almost ready to say, like, let's just redo this show.
Just start over.
Oh. We're in
that's
it now.
That's what the description will be. At 12 minutes in, the show actually starts.
The first 12 minutes are just the roast of Kevin Hutzberger.
Content.
So, Asa, let's talk about this. All right, serious faces now.
Okay.
Let's be fucking professionals. What are they talking
about?
You're
going to have to give Dalton like a year.
Yeah, we're going to have.
He's got to collect himself.
Just work through it.
Pretend you're an action figure. Collect yourself.
Oh, that broke Allie.
Hey, I got Allie to laugh. I'm
it
happy.
Was clever.
Am I not clever?
You are clever.
But this was at Dalton.
My mom
she
says
actually
I'm
hates
handsome.
Dalton.
Most people do.
Ow, my stomach hurts.
Well, Tom Tom.
Maybe you should get sponsored by Tums instead.
This is no longer the wrestling podcast. This is just a live roast of anyone that gets brought
anything
up.
That moves. Just.
Sometimes people forget that we're like just the cattiest women. We're the mean girls.
Remember when you said Illinois? Look at this idiot.
You dumb dick.
Pussy-ass bitch.
Lame-ass pussy.
No, damn it. I forgot. No.
I think pussy-ass bitch is a lot worse. Than
it's significantly worse.
Okay, MLW. What are they talking about? Legitimately.
So.
I have never heard of this.
So this is, no one really knows for sure. It hasn't gone like to court yet, but apparently MLW, Major League Wrestling lawyers, have met with WWE lawyers, holding evidence that apparently WWE is interfering with MLW talent contracts. The going theory on Reddit, this is all from PW Insider from Mike Johnson. The going theory are the two names are Timothy Thatcher and Killer Cross.
So the two guys that just signed
with
NXT.
The two guys that just signed, apparently MLW was running vignettes for Thatcher, and they had announced that Killer Cross was going to be at a future event. Now that doesn't necessarily, like, that's, again, that's just internet theory.
Yeah.
Right.
They may not have had actual, like, ink on paper contracts stating for those events, and then they had to pull. So it could have been other people. I know a couple other names were Garza and Carrillo,
okay.
Humberto and Garza, which, by the way, left, right, the when the up, up, down, down gets taken over, there's a Super Smash Brothers Ultimate play with Dio Madden, Garza, Killian Dane, Swerve, Scott, and another guy. I can't remember his name. I can't remember who the fifth man was. But it's actually a lot of fun. And Garza seems like just the coolest dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he seems like just, like, the most fun guy. It's like, oh, I want to be friends with him.
But you remember what he did to his cousin?
Yeah. And Rey Mysterio.
Oh.
Well, no, that was Andrade. It's fine. So this is actually really, really interesting because, you know, and the fact that they say they have an abundance of evidence could be real interesting to see if this actually does go to court.
Yeah, because I mean that's a serious thing, right? Like that is. But what do you do to a company like the WWE in relations to this? You find them, right?
You tell them that you have an abundance of evidence and you go for that settlement.
Right. So like nothing's gonna happen to them basically, yeah. Other than they're gonna pay some money.
They'll probably pay some money. They may have them work some dates. Like they may have to like.
Because that would be the smart thing to be like, oh, well, you're upset that they can't work these dates?
Yeah.
Here
like,
you go.
Okay, well, we'll have, you know, Timothy Thatcher, like, we'll have them honor these dates that were, even if it was like a handshake agreement or verbal contract. Again, very little is actually known other than what Mike Johnson has been reporting, and he's typically a really good, reliable source
for
this kind of thing. So,
wasn't it in Dalton in the 90s?
Okay.
WCW had to tiptoe their way around contract negotiations with WWF guys.
Everybody had to.
Yeah.
Because that's always been a thing.
Yeah. Like you would have the Lex Luger handshake agreement where he was going to re-sign, but then showed up on WCW the next night, and Pat Patterson was so happy.
Rick Rude.
Rick
showed up on the same show or same night, two shows.
Yeah, same night, two shows because WWE was pre-recorded. I'm trying to think. Chris Jericho talks about how he had to go to Connecticut on his own without anybody telling him to, even though somebody told him to like talk to Vince about getting a WWE contract whenever he was still with WCW.
Like it was like Jim Ross took him to Vince's house.
Yeah.
Like, hey, just
and like they used names that weren't, because this was pre 9/11, so you could do this. Mm-hmm. Like they used names that weren't. I don't know Chris Jericho's actual name.
It's Chris Irving.
Chris. Yeah, I knew it was something like that.
Irvine.
Like they didn't use that. They used something else to get him there, so that way it wasn't like followed as much. The Radicals. Whenever they all came in, that was kind of the same thing where they couldn't really talk about it. But I think Eddie Guerrero might have been the point man there to like talk to him.
Yeah.
The connection, but yeah, it's always been very like touch and go with contracts, and WWE's kind of eliminated that with their no compete clauses and stuff like that. But I don't know.
But have they? Because at this point now, especially with AEW, mm-hmm. like you're going to tell me that the Revival and the Young Bucks have not had a conversation?
Or what about that picture that came out a little while ago of EC3 and Jericho?
Yeah, it was, well, that was just them hanging out.
Yeah, but still.
But also, yeah.
But still, yeah.
Because, like, you can make that with indie, especially with when you don't have, like, yeah, Khan owns it, but, like, we don't know who's signing talent.
Right.
So, like, you can't tell a wrestler to not be friends with another wrestler. This isn't the 90s anymore. Like,
right.
We all know that Cave, like, mm-hmm. it's a work.
And so, they definitely can't give, like, you know, you can't go into actual contract negotiations.
While somebody's still under contract.
While you're under contract.
But they call them feelers.
Right, or, you know, just the, oh,
even
you know,
that's illegal now, though. Like,
oh,
you
gotta, is it?
Yeah, like, they can't, it's the same thing with, like, college sports, where, like, no sports agent can talk to a college athlete still because it ruins their eligibility. Like, it's the same way with wrestling contracts where, like, they can't really be talked to about other promotions because then that company could, like, WWE could press charges.
And honestly, the fact that we have a contract tampering, you know, quote-unquote scandal right now, and it's not between WWE and AEW.
It's shocking.
Is very shocking because with the amount of, like, friendships that are between the two companies and, of course, you know, the wild rumors of how much AEW is paying people and things like that, like, it's kind of surprising that something hasn't come out yet. Unless they're just being, you know, clearly they're, you know, no
being
one's talking
about
anything.
It.
Yeah.
I think this is huge for MLW on so many levels because, one, not only could they get a settlement from WWE, but mm-hmm. the press from this alone
will be bad.
It will be bad for WWE and good for them mm-hmm. because they're already an underdog company. Every company is an underdog company compared to WWE. And MLW could really kind of get some good press off this and could use that.
So Brody Lee, Luke Harper, has been, like, he was released from his contract. He's falling within that 90-day no-compete clause, assumingly. That allows him, he could start negotiating with like AEW if he wanted to, or NWA or whoever, CCW.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Dream Big.
God, yes.
Yeah. Like he could start, you know, because he's no longer under contract, his just first appearance wouldn't be able to be until after that 90 day.
Right.
Where then you have all of the mostly internet speculation, but like, oh yeah, internally at AEW, they're talking about what they want to do with Matt Hardy, who is still very much clearly under a WWE contract. As long as those conversations aren't reaching actual Matt Hardy, like, that's cool. Or is it like, oh yeah, Matt, you know, Matt's kind of talking to, you know, he's texting the Young Bucks about stuff. At what point does it go from just friends kind of BSing and like blow, like if Matt's just blowing off steam about a frustration at a workplace?
Oh, can I kind of field it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like I know the answer to this.
Tip into the illegal, because I'm genuinely asking because I don't know jack about any of this.
I think when it comes to finally talking about money and dates and stuff like that, if you and I worked for different companies and I was like, hey man, you could come here, we could do all this cool stuff, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if I said you could come here for 2 years and we'll give you this amount of money, then mm-hmm. it's okay. Now you're actively trying to poach
and
talent.
It could also be because it's the whole thing, like, we don't really know who's in charge of AEW getting people,
right?
Well,
because they have a million VPs.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, it might be Nick, it might be Matt, it might be Cody, it might be all of them.
If you have Jim Ross on the roster and you don't have him at least having a hand in that,
and talent
you got
relations.
Your mind.
Yeah,
well, yeah, absolutely. But, like, what I'm saying is...
Hopefully they'll get your name right.
So, I think the issue is it only becomes an issue once it comes out. Because nobody on AEWN is going to talk
right
about it. Because they're going to be like, no, we're just talking to Matt.
Right.
Matt's not going to talk about it because that could fuck him over super hard.
Right.
So it's very much as long as it doesn't come out post,
mm-hmm.
they're fine. Like, if they sign Matt on the 3rd, because his contract lapses on March 1st, apparently.
March 1st is what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, if they sign him on the 3rd, no harm, no foul.
Right.
But if it comes out a year later that they were talking in December 2019.
That Matt knows how much he was going to be making in December or how long his contract, like.
Yeah, because that becomes negotiating under
right.
contract.
Right. Right.
It's very much a, and there's, by the way, like, with them being independent contractors, this whole conversation we were having,
it's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but it's a thing, but it's absolute bullshit.
So could Matt Hardy, being under contract with WWE, text the Young Bucks or whoever at AEW and be like, hey, my contract, like, say he's doing it today. My contract expires on March 1st. I really only want to do a year. Like, that's all I would be comfortable doing. He put out feelers and they just couldn't answer him?
Their best course of action in that would be like,
let's talk on March 2nd.
Talk to us on the 2nd.
Okay.
Because I think it eventually comes to a point, Dalton, and maybe you'll agree with me on this, is when you say, what's the line? It's whatever the lawyer can convince the jury.
Yeah, so it's one of those, like, and with it, them being independent contractors, because let's say that in a year that comes out. This is a big scandal that AEW poached Matt Hardy because he was mm-hmm. still under contract. That's going to be the smoking gun. I wouldn't do any of this via text.
No paper trails.
Yeah. It would be all very much.
Carrier pigeon.
I wouldn't even do phone conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be in person talking.
Snapchat.
Or Snapchat.
Yeah, delete it. You open it and delete.
Damn it.
No, I set myself up for the joke.
Crap.
You don't get to steal it.
Yeah. So it's one of those, like, you just have to be super careful when dealing with it, especially like if you're the talent, because that's going to be the person that also gets like slammed in the whole thing.
Or you're WWE or AEW and you don't care. What are you going to do? Hit me with $1 million fine? Cool.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, oh, God. Now I just have to put on an extra show in Saudi Arabia. And I just made $70 billion. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
This is an interesting story. I'm curious about what it is. Dalton just made the oh my God face. So what?
Also, we may not.
They just did. Wait a minute. I'm going to go to the Twitter.
Ermager?
We might have a reveal of two of the AEW figures like going on right now.
Ooh, keep an eye on that. I do think that this is one that if it is a settlement, they're not going to. It is going to be like, okay, the news is they settled. We will not get a scrap of news out of that. Okay, you were like,
No, I got this officially because this is on the list. Moving on, we'll keep you updated on this.
Yep.
Dalton Anthony has an update on some very exciting news about All Elite Wrestling action figures,
which we began to talk about last night on the hype train because it's one of the things that I'm looking forward to coming out of Toy Fair.
Would you say you were hyped?
Yeah.
First, the first wave of the AEW Unrivaled collection.
Ooh. Are they? Do we know if they're to scale to elites?
I don't know. They look like it, depending on the ring that they're in. I don't know. But
how many wrestlers are on there? Tell me first.
Five.
Can I guess them? Is it the sure, obvious ones?
Go ahead and take the wind out of my sails because okay. This is kind of my segment.
All right, I won't, but let me ask one question.
Yeah.
Are there any surprises?
No.
Okay, then please go ahead.
We have Nick and Matt. We have Cody. We have Kenny Omega, and we have Chris Jericho. Jericho has the belt. So I'm looking at him. I'm trying to find like a good picture where they're like I can see all the posability. They look like they would be to scale to elites, but I would need to see them side by side.
Are you at all disappointed that this came out now instead of waiting?
Fuck
for
no.
Okay, I didn't know if you're Well, I guess yeah. You don't really care about spoilers.
No, I don't. But this was on. You want to know who I'm looking on it right now? The Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Twitter. So there's your fucking answer. If they're like getting in trouble for anything.
I was going to say, from a conversation that was off air about.
Yes. So
you have to tune into the pre show.
Just that one's come and hang out at the store.
Yeah,
which, if you do, please let me know how you did that.
Yeah.
Because I have a series of questions.
Yeah, Calvin does too. so it's looking like it's going to have really awesome articulation.
Can I see it?
Yeah, so we're going to have like double joint. They look like ultimates. So that figure I showed you of Finn Balor with like the kind of weird torso, they have that. It's a little bit more smoothed out. Double jointed elbows, double jointed knees, ball hip joints.
Okay.
So
what are the main differences between...
It's looking like the chest.
Elites and ultimates. So if this is more of an ultimate figure... What's the difference between the elite and the ultimate?
It's going to have a little bit more dynamic posability.
Okay.
Because so in the picture,
the only thing I don't like is Kenny Omega's face. It's a little weird.
Well, it's fine. They're going to be like super poseable. You're going to have like the only thing it's not going to have is the ab crunch. I kind of like the ab crunch a whole lot, but I do like the way that they smoothed it out via the ultimates that are kind of wonky.
They put the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast logo over the figures as like a watermark.
Yeah.
So I guess is this them breaking the news?
Probably. They're friends with the guy that runs Jazzwares.
I wonder if that's going to get him in trouble because like.
No, they
maybe
don't care.
It leaked.
Yeah.
I highly doubt it. Because they like Jeremy a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Like they literally just did an interview with him that dropped this morning.
Right.
Which is the news that I had.
Right.
And then just as we were about to talk about that news, this fucking happened.
Well, and I mean
That fucking fidget spinner is awesome.
I've been wanting to you've been playing with it for weeks, and I wanted to try it
because I just heard I heard the little.
So the
I could see him doing it.
Yeah,
just over and over.
The picture that has all five of them in the AEW ring.
Yeah.
So it's got Chris Jericho with the title. Kenny Omega has. So is this going to be a posable hand or a removable hand?
I'd have to look at it
because he's got the finger gun.
Can I see it
real quick?
Okay,
and then. It's got the Young Bucks doing their pose, and then Cody with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, I'm fine with it. But, yeah.
The throne breaker.
So that's the hand.
That's going to be a removable hand.
Okay.
Which,
or he's just going to have a finger gun hand.
Yeah.
Which, if you're putting that level of detail into it, I can't imagine they'd just be like.
So these are probably going to be $30 figures. Maybe $20, but like, you have to make them on par with elites at that point. But yeah, no, like they look super cool. Wait a minute, does Jericho have two faces? No, he doesn't. He only has one. That's fucking cool though. So the news I had was I speculated that Jeremy Padour was going to be the brand manager of it because he was brand manager for Jax during the Classic Superstars wave, and he was the one getting all the contracts to get like Ultimate Warrior, which that was during the self-destruction of Ultimate Warrior time, and he was still able to get that contract through.
Mm-hmm.
So like Jeremy Padour is kind of a G. Like he's awesome. But since he's kind of in charge of Jazzwares, he's one of the like presidents or whatever, I think. He said on the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, if there was to be another wrestling figure wave that he was like
a part of,
he couldn't be the brand manager because he's so busy with everything else.
Right.
So I am way more hyped about this than I was 2 minutes ago because I was kind of afraid of what they looked like. Cody's head also looks a little weird. But like this is legitimate competition.
So are those prototypes, or do you think those are going to be the final figures?
These look like they're really high-detailed protos. If they come out like this, this is a quality figure. It looks like, so it is definitely Matt and Nick from Double or Nothing. Cody wearing the Thornbreaker gear, which I think that was also Double or Nothing. These might all be Double or Nothing figures. I'd have to go back and look. I know Matt and Nick definitely are because they were wearing the Elvis suits.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening right now, go to the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Twitter page and look. It's going to be like one of the top things you'll see.
If these are ultimate styled articulation. Mm-hmm. What do you think they're going to run each?
I'm predicting 30.
30 each?
I think 30 each.
I don't want to hear that.
But yeah, again,
that's pricey.
Cause
so here's the thing. So I said, I'm predicting 30. I could see 20. Mm-hmm. Because this is pretty much
to
like.
To keep him competitive with elites.
Because the reason they can charge more for ultimates versus elites is because you don't really need ultimates. Mm-hmm. They're kind of specialty figures that come out. Like they're hard to find. You can really only find them in Target in this area.
Yeah.
These are going to have to be more mass retail. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed. So I'm going to see. They're not going to be more than 30. They're not going to be under 20.
Right.
They're going to be in that sweet spot. So my guess, MSRP $29.99. Mm-hmm. I could see believably $24.99. Prayer $19.99.
So now that this has been released, do you think that was all we were going to get at Toy Fair? Or do you think they're going to say this is the first wave, we have prototypes made of the second wave? And then also, when do you think those hit market?
One second. This is from the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Twitter. I am finding all of this out
live as we're
right now.
Breaking
so,
news.
So as I'm trying to talk to you
this
about
finally, this, if only this were a live podcast,
this finally didn't happen. Like this didn't come out Thursday morning.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's about toys.
As is usually what happens to us.
Kidding, Dalton. I'm so sorry.
At Jazz, this is on the podcast, page, Major Wrestling Figure Podcast. At Jazzwear is a global leader in play, and AEW Wrestling are tag teaming on AEW's first line of action figures featuring AEW World Champion Chris Jericho, Cody, the Young Bucks, and Kenny Omega, John Moxley, and more. The new AEW Unrivaled line will be on display at Toy Fair.
Okay, so there are more figures in that first wave, just they're only showing these five.
Yeah, right, Kenny's going to have interchangeable hands because I'm looking at some more. These look like test shots. Jericho's going to come with a microphone. I don't know what the Bucks are going to come with. It'd be cool if they got their removable jackets, but like, that's kind of a prayer on that. But this is, I am super stoked. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get all these.
You're stoked because there's a good chance that you'll be able to buy a legitimate action figure of your actual friend, Marco Stunt.
That'd be super cool.
Which would be incredible. I'd put that on my wall.
So Padour and the guys at Ringside Collectibles are really good friends. They kind of like... One helped the other out a whole lot. And with their company, Jeremy Padour helped out Ringside. Whenever they started, the dude was like 13. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of helped them with like the business, getting them exclusives and stuff like that. So my biggest fear in the world
is there's going to be some crazy
Ringside
exclusive.
Stupid Ringside.
I hope not.
Jurassic Express 3-pack exclusive to Ringside Collectibles.
The only way to get Marco Stunt is to get the collector's edition.
But like, I only have Brian Kendrick. Because of Ringside, because that was the only place you could get him, because he's an exclusive. Same thing with like Tyler Bates. So like, I will go get it. I hope they make Marco soon, like sooner rather than later, because that I do have like...
Especially because it's not unfeasible that if this line does not do well,
there
we
might
may
not
only
be a
get
line
one
too.
Wave.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But hopefully it does well. I think wrestling fans...
But like...
You can say this better. Wrestling fans are starving for figures that aren't WWE.
Yeah, and that's true. Like Super 7's doing New Japan, Boss Fight Studios doing Luchadors. They have the Lucha Brothers right now. That actually makes me kind of happy that Jazzwares is doing this, because those figures are kind of expensive, so these are cheaper. I can settle for the Jazzwares. My biggest, like, my whole thing with this is I'm super excited that I'm going to be able to get more people that, like, my big thing, because I'm weird about, like, my collecting, I've been wanting to start a collection of people I've been on shows with.
Like, no, that's cool. That makes sense.
So, like, I want Marco to get made, because he would go on that shelf, but I would have to buy, like, two or three Marcos.
Joey Ryan...
I have Joey Ryan's figure already.
Hawk. No, Animal. My bad.
I have an animal figure too. But like,
I'm gonna keep naming him. Glacier.
Glacier doesn't have an action figure at all.
That can't, even when the WCW was a thing?
He does not have it. He has one thing that could count, and I've almost bought it a couple times. He has like a little Hot Wheel.
Oh wow, man, that sucks.
Yeah, because there's been a couple
cool toy.
There's been a couple of times like on Instagram, because I'm friends with, like, I follow a lot of people that do like giveaways and shit like that. I've tried to win Glacier trading cards. Because Glacier's a fucking sweetheart.
Yeah.
But, like, this would be cool because then I could get SoCal Uncensored. I could get our SCU. I don't know why I said Uncensored. Which one?
SoCal Uncensored.
I said it right.
SCU, yeah.
Like, I could get a lot of people that I want figures of. Like, the only way to get a Kenny Omega right now is you have to get a custom. And it's an old Daniel Bryan head with DDP's hair on top of it. That's everybody's fucking custom. I can show you.
I would like to see that. Yeah. No, I would like to
and
see
then,
that.
Like,
please.
Nick and Matt Jackson are all either Bo Dallas or Tyler Breeze that they've like sculpted sideburns on.
Wow.
Like, so this is really cool for me. Like, I can, and I'm a big collector, and it's kind of like what Asa was saying Saturday or Sunday at NXT at my place. He was like, I kind of want to get on the ground level of a collector.
That's what I was talking about last night. Like, talking about, because it's like, okay, so I could have a full collection of AEW figures. Like, I will never be, it is literally impossible to start from scratch and get every single WWE Elite.
That's true, but you do not want to dip into that Ninja Turtle money.
I see, and that's the thing, is that's also coming from Toy Fair, is NECA's going to tell me about how much money I'm going to be spending on them. So.
Exactly. At Target, because it's going to be the only place you can get them.
Yep. And so, then I'm still debating on those Turtles in Time figures, because they're still on sale.
Sadie just informed me there's a fucking video I need to watch with them.
After the show.
Yeah. After the
we
show.
We have to move on.
Yep. Yeah.
We have to move on.
Go check those figures out right now. I'm sure within the next hour, 8 people are going to message me.
Yep.
Being like, have you seen this?
And I'm when gonna I was be holding your phone, you had a notification that said Derek Boxdorfer sent you a message or tagged you in a post or one of the two.
That was probably just him going like, that's the.
Was that him doing Kevin?
That's
no, that would
at a certain
way
point,
too talented to be Kevin.
At a certain point, I honestly like feel bad. Like I was like, so do we need to message him?
And tell him not to listen to the show?
Yeah, and just be like, hey.
No, so I'm going to be like, only listen to the first 12
we
minutes.
We might have crossed the line at a certain point.
Oh
wow. Brandi Rhodes has a figure.
Neat.
And she's like holding it in a picture. Does Kenny Omega's holding his.
Can you tell if she has, because I know WWE was really bad for a
can
long
I see
time
her figure?
About the women figures
it's,
were.
It's kind of hard to see. It looks like a double jointed elbow. It actually looks a lot like a women's elite.
Can I see it?
Okay.
Can I see it?
Because for the longest
time. Because I love Brandi Rhodes. I absolutely
it's
love
not
Brandi
a great
Rhodes.
Picture.
For the longest time.
No, but it's cool that she's getting one. Because I loved her as Eden Styles. I love Brandi Rhodes. I've always loved her.
That's
I thought she was
cool.
Amazing.
WWE has a bad track record of women's figures because they're pretty much always just basics.
Yeah.
Until recently.
Also, just so you know, if Major Wrestling Figure Podcast is getting in trouble, Ringside Collectibles.
Posted it
just
too.
Posted about it, so okay. Fuck them.
Yeah, so this wasn't a leak. Probably
what are you gonna do,
Vince?
Also, you gonna release like, Zack Ryder so he can go to AEW and be happy?
It also looks like Kenny Omega's gonna have an entrance jacket.
Neat.
Because he's holding his and he has an entrance. He has something in his other hand. Like he has the figure in one, something else in one.
I would love an.
I am so sorry that I am eating up this much.
Me too. I would love a Japanese figure where he comes out, you press a button, and does the Terminator. The doo 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 doo. Which I don't. He doesn't have that music in America, does he?
He's never had that music. That's the Terminator
that's,
music.
That's always just that's. Not
that's what
says
with the fans.
Yeah.
Too?
He just,
okay.
Yeah, he just and they he does the pose to do the dive.
All right, so I'm going to eat up just a minute of my time real quick. Where did the Terminator thing start?
He's a big fucking nerd.
Okay, but why Terminator specifically?
Like, why do you like Terminator?
No, but I mean, like,
why did he choose to do it?
Yeah, why? No one associates my interests with Terminator. I never started doing the Terminator thing. Like, is he just that big of a fan of Terminator, or did he do it once and the fans were like, "Oh, that's really cool." Like, why?
I
don't know if there's
little
some deeper
a,
connection.
Little column B.
Yeah,
and I honestly,
he's Kenny Omega in Japan, so he's gonna do what he wants.
I honestly expected an actual answer to that one. I'm not gonna lie.
No,
I assumed there was something.
He does a cool thing. I mean, I'm sure there's a story behind it. Because
I mean, like Hurricane, obviously, well, he was a big Green Lantern fan,
right?
And he hated Sugar Shane Helms.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Why did he really?
No, he hated Gregory Helms. They wanted to do Gregory or Greg Helms.
Well, yeah, because they already had Shane McMahon. You can't have a Shane McMahon and a Shane Helms.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
Dude, I saw his Elite. Sadie's older brother has the Hurricane Elite. He bought it from Ringside. Brother, that figure's fucking cool.
It was like Lance Cade when he came in, but you already have Lance Storm. So they renamed him Garrison Cade. Like, you can't have the same person with two people with the same name. People will get confused.
They did that. Colt Cabana was supposed to be Colt Cabana.
Steven Regal, Steven Austin, William Regal.
Well, no, but Colt Cabana was supposed to be, like, he was supposed to go by that name, but they had
Carlito's Cabana.
And that screwed that up.
At least they're catering to their fans. hey, speaking of WWE, I was hoping for an answer on that. I'm serious. Like, I needed closure.
Google it.
I'm going to have to, except I can't. I don't know about you guys. My internet connection is so bad.
Oh, I always disconnect from Wi-Fi when I come here.
I have no choice on this one, obviously. Yeah. But it's a long story with Charter. F them. But I'm barely loading the text.
Oh, shit. Did I spoil that?
There's a couple of options there. Oh, okay. Let's see how the Democratic debates go. Kathy Kelly is gone from WWE.
Yes.
I think she wrapped up at Portland, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a shame. I thought she was, I mean, good for her because I think she's going to do great things.
Mm-hmm.
Bad for WWE because she was really good.
It's a loss for them. Did you see her going away video?
I did not.
Where she was named the honorary fifth member of
Undisputed,
Undisputed Era.
I did hear about it, yeah.
And the like really nice moment between her and Triple H and all of them. So like she got a good send off. It doesn't seem like she's leaving on bad terms. Yeah.
I think she also put out a tweet. I think it was a tweet where she said, "Hey, does anyone have like login info for networks?
Who can I get the login info for the next WWE show?"
That was pretty funny. Yeah. So that's a shame. That is a shame. In good news, but good luck to her. I think she'll do well.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's top tier, just like Renee Young. I think Renee Young would be such a huge blow to WWE.
AEW is just a toy company.
What's that?
Fuck yeah.
AEW is just a toy company.
We're going to get an Orange Cassidy figure.
I mean, that's not announced, but like it's a possibility, and I'm excited. Because
people call them a t-shirt company. But now they sell more than t-shirts.
So if they make an Orange Cassidy figure, do they just leave the hands in the pockets?
I'm being legit.
I hope there
better be like little slots and you can just
a
have
swappable
hands.
Torso.
Or that would be cool too. Or just have hands that don't have the fingers that you can place in the little pocket slots.
I'm not an Orange Cassidy fan.
What?
Oh yeah.
Boomer. Remember when AEW was like, "We're going to be the real wrestling sport." And
they weren't
with rankings and all that. No, they played off like they were going to be a legitimate
thing.
You
made it sound like the NWA thing, where this is real men wrestle. It's like they were never going to be that.
And I don't even think NWA does that, because don't they have the question mark or whatever his name is?
Yeah, and the paralyzing strike. But that's where the real men wrestle.
You know what? At least Thunder Rosa's there. And who doesn't love Thunder Rosa? And Melina back. It's a long story. Anyway, this is very cool.
It's a long story.
It's a long story about Melina. The British Bulldog is being inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes!
Which, I'm surprised it took so long.
I read the headline and I was like, wait, he's not already in?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's like, because I don't think Miss Elizabeth's in either, is she?
I don't think so.
No, but isn't that because like there's some bad blood between her estate and...
Oh, like Owen, kind
of? Yeah, like, I could be just pulling that out of my ass, but I thought that...
All right, so pretend for a second that I'm in La La Land. They never inducted Owen, did they?
No.
Like,
no.
I was positive they hadn't.
His wife has a hard pass on that.
There was a part of me that was thinking they did it without making a big deal out of it because of her, but I'm, like, I was sure they didn't. The Bulldog, though, absolutely deserving. I was a huge British Bulldog fan growing up, and that was after the British Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. Like, I never got to see anything with him and his tag team partner, Dynamite Kid.
Okay, I thought you were going to have an issue trying to think of that name.
I did for a second. I almost said Dan.
Oh, I would have slapped the shite out of you.
Dynamite Kid. I never got to watch them as a tag team.
Oh, he's such an underrated.
But, boy, I loved the British Bulldog as a singles wrestler. Good. He was so good.
As good as Bulldog is, or was... all of the stories about like how kind of shitty he was about some things are amazing. Like the reason that Bret Hart dropped the IC belt it was the IC belt and then won the WWE belt so quick was because Bulldog was so like coked out of his mind in their match at was it Wimbledon? Whenever they were over in the UK, whenever he won the belt, Bret Hart pretty much had to wrestle himself. But like as with British Bulldog as a prop and had to put him over, the WWE was like, you know what, Brett? We're going to give you the world title.
You did such a good job.
Like
we asked for a 6, you gave us a 10.
He has one of my favorite moments of, and Cody will like this because it's a Attitude Era podcast, like regular bit. Of the time where he was like, he came back to WWE's and he only wore jeans ever.
I was just about to mention that.
And he throws the trash can here and where's my fucking title shot?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's the most thing I remember about British Bulldog was him wrestling in jeans for so long.
Yeah.
And I hated it. I hated it so much because I'm used to like when I first started watching Bulldog was when he had like the braids and he came out in the Union Jack attire and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when he came back, he was that really serious guy with the short hair and the jeans. And I hated it.
There
I wanted old Bulldog.
So back to figures. There's one Bulldog that I want more than anything, but it's legit like a $100-$150 figure. It's the short trunks, and it has the Hart Foundation vest. And I want it so bad. It was like it was whenever they were doing WWE Legends and the Mattel waves. And I want it so bad, but I just can't justify buying. I hope they re-release it or do like hopefully this Hall of Fame thing, because that does tend to happen. Somebody goes in the Hall of Fame and then they have a figure made pretty quickly after, quickly within like a year or two. But like I'm like redo that Bulldog because I want that. Or fuck it, give me the jeans.
Fun fact:
yeah,
the British Bulldog is the only wrestler I ever emailed. And let me explain why.
British Bulldog had an email?
No.
Oh.
What happened was...
He just typed something out at britishbulldog.com.
And I just emailed it.
britishbulldog@u.com.
It was after, you remember, when he got hurt on the Ultimate Warrior's trapdoor.
Oh, yeah.
They had a thing where it was like, British Bulldog's hurt. You can send him an email here and wish him the best. It's the only time I've ever done it. But I actually emailed and I was like, hey, that sucks. I hope everything's okay. You know, I did that because I was such a big fan of Bulldog.
Yeah.
And that pretty much led to the end of his career.
That, well, yeah. Because,
what
like,
a shit he was, show in every way.
He was, this is bad to speak ill of the dead, but he was pretty prolific in like drug use. But that whole trapdoor situation like made everything worse because that got him on pain pills.
Yeah, because it hurt his back real bad.
Yeah, so it's one of those things like Brian Zane did the whole Warrior in WCW. How many like lives he ruined.
Yeah, and that
and
was definitely
Bulldog
one of them.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah. Also, fuck Van Hammer, apparently.
Fuck, yeah. I mean, not for almost killing that dude in that 91.
Just in general. But yeah, just for being Van Hammer.
Yeah.
And then being Private Stash and then Major Stash.
He got promoted.
It's so clever. And other unfortunate news, Kenta Kobashi undergoes 6.5-hour knee surgery.
Maybe it'll be fixed this time because that dude's only been having... Well, no, he had a shoulder that one time.
No, well, yeah, because he has been putting off knee surgery for this. He finally agreed to do it. Yeah. It was successful. Apparently, his knee... Like, the story goes... that his knee was so hard it was draining the batteries of the drill.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
But the reason that he did it is because he couldn't get down on the ground to play with his grandchildren. Aww. And she asked, like, apparently there's a story like his granddaughter asked him, was like, oh, are you hurt? Like, why can't you come down? Are you hurt? And that kind of was like, okay.
Time to get this
that
done.
Was the
yeah,
poke
so,
he
and so that was that's what he did. So he had to, it, like, it's a good story. Like, it was successful, just took a very, very long time, and it was very intensive.
Draining the batteries.
And from what I understand, no, he did no painkillers. He just stood there and took it. Probably. He stood.
Yeah,
he didn't even lay down.
He was asking if Minoru Suzuki could show up and just chop him a couple times.
Yeah,
right.
It was crazy. Also, I meant to mention this a second ago, but other rumored names for the Hall of Fame, because is Bulldog, Liger, and NWO. Okay, maybe Liger hasn't been announced yet.
I don't think
it's just NWO and Bulldog right now?
I think so.
I don't know.
Because God, we're getting close.
The other like big, big rumor names are Jushin Thunder Liger.
Mm-hmm. I would understand
the
that.
The Bella Twins and JBL are the ones I've heard.
I've seen JBL. I didn't see the Bella Twins, but I saw JBL
you know,
and Liger.
Actually, that would be a really good class. I would like that class a lot.
You know, a lot of people are upset about the Bella Twins.
Well,
which
a lot of
I'm
people
like,
can suck it.
Yeah, like, it's whatever. Like, yeah. I think they're... I don't know if I would say they're Hall of Fame worthy, but like I'm not going to deny their importance.
It's the thing that like when you look at some of the people who are in the Hall of Fame, literally everybody's Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah.
Like this is just a nice way to honor someone.
To thank
for,
them.
To thank someone for their contributions.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's so it's a weird thing to get upset about.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there have been times that I've been like, really, they're going in? But that's been a long time.
Yeah.
I'm more offended
because
by the
Cindy
fact that.
Lauper's still not in.
Jim Johnston's not in.
Miss well, Elizabeth.
I mean, I'm going with the celebrity wing because it's going to be, it's eventually going to be
he
Snooki.
He should be the celebrity wing.
Is Pete Rose in?
Yeah.
Did he finally get abducted?
Yeah. Oh, this was years ago. He finally got in the Hall of Fame.
He's
the
only Hall of Fame.
Only
yeah.
Hall of Fame he getting in.
Jesus. Well, that's one more than Kevin Huntsberger ever will. I had to. We had to throw one more
there's,
in.
There's so many, and it's because all of these roasts by Kevin Huntsberger are brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends.
God damn, I've been trying to figure out how to get that in.
I knew you weren't going to. You failed.
Are you trying to do a plug right now?
What?
Do you
no, it's just Raid Shadow. Like, I'm sorry. I've been disconnected. I've been playing it on my
are
phone.
You playing it right now?
It's a great online RPG. That
what's
you
it
can
like?
Mobile. It's great. Raid Shadow Legends
so,
available on Android and iOS.
Can we do
probably.
This to Jesse on Monday
yes.
next week?
Like, yeah, because he's not going to listen to
yeah,
this.
Yeah, he's not
going to
listen to
yeah.
this, so this be good.
I
yeah.
encourage
also,
everyone
listen,
to do it all the
I'm
time.
I'm going to listen to you right now. Anybody who overlaps between PW and Nerd Up,
shut the
snitches
fuck up.
Get stitches.
That's true. Box
unless,
dorker.
Don't listen to what Shannon says where he approves
he
of snitching.
He loves snitching.
Shannon loves
in
snitching.
In certain situations. I'm a fan of snitching.
Allie,
yes.
How's that UFO going? Oh, shit, you're on to something else.
Yeah, she finished it.
Shit, I actually had something. The other thing. Oh, and the other thing is, because I do want to talk about this, and we talked about it before the show, that I don't want to talk about it, but I do, but not until we get the facts. The whole DiBiase scandal
Brett
thing.
Brett DiBiase.
When being that Brett DiBiase is the only one that has been charged with anything and arrested, we're not touching it yet.
Yeah, until
if
there's
something
more,
else happens. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of misinformation going around.
Wild
so
speculation.
The important thing to note that as of now, Brett DiBiase is the only one being charged.
Right.
There is some shenanigans around Ted Jr., Ted Sr., and his ministry.
Right.
But nothing has been formally filed yet, and that's important to note because right. there's a lot of like
people are DiBiase saying, oh,
family
the,
yeah. going to prison. Like,
lock
like,
them up. Lock them up. Yeah, nothing so far. So if something does happen with that, we will absolutely report on it. And I think that would be very unfortunate because Ted DiBiase, of course, is one of my favorites growing up. But liking someone as a wrestler is not a measure of the man. Look right. at Hulk Hogan. Look yeah. at others, probably.
Majority of pro wrestlers.
Especially from the 80s.
Yeah.
Dude, that AEW cage.
Did you know that?
Please don't. Please don't talk about Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter. He wasn't a real sergeant.
Do you know Ted DiBiase really wasn't a millionaire?
Was he not? How much was WWF paying at the time?
Not enough, but they did make him drive around in limo. He had the best gimmick because they made him drive around in limos. They made him spend money at restaurants.
But here's the thing. Driving the limo is not a sign of wealth. No, well, they got that wrong.
Well, that was Virgil.
Yeah.
They were just, he needed work. Mike Jones.
Who?
Mike Jones. Anyway,
Virgil.
Dave Meltzer. Uncle Dave. Sorry, my Jim Cornette came out. Reports that Tito Ortiz spent the week training. At the Performance Center.
Okay. Yep. So and apparently he impressed a lot of people with like how serious he took it. And he just had a really, really good work ethic and energy about him. So
Tito Ortiz has done wrestling.
He was
before.
In Impact. He yeah. was the big wet fart reveal of Main Event Mafia.
Yeah.
Of just like he was a big surprise that I think it was either to face Angle or Angle was bringing him in. I don't remember. But Ortiz comes out and like
Nobody cares.
I think they were trying to get that UFC rub, and it just didn't work. And
yeah, because he was long out of UFC right. even by that time.
I always will remember him as the Huntington Beach bad boy. That will always be Tito Ortiz. His fights with, I think it was a Chuck Liddell.
Yep.
What a great feud that was.
When there was like 12 UFC fighters total.
Yeah.
So they all had like great rivalries.
Because that's all who could fight was those, yeah.
I think he was.
And then actual MMA, like actual mixed martial artists showed up mm-hmm. and just started wrecking
well, suddenly Chuck Liddell didn't look so good anymore.
Yeah.
People with... like jiu-jitsu and then like actual like collegiate wrestling yeah. amateur wrestling background showed up and just like oh this is our toy now
oh we can do this too
yeah we're gonna just come in and
yeah
and hold you for three rounds and yep. you're done
mm-hmm. I think he was I don't know if he still is. He was married to Jenna Jameson
at one point. Yeah,
I don't know if they're still married.
All right, on Wikipedia,
because I don't think it ended well. And I remember not liking Tito Ortiz for a little while.
They're definitely not together anymore,
but that's cool. Do you think they'll do anything with him?
Maybe. Let me see how old he is.
Do you think
45 there, years old?
Do you think there is a? Well, I think this is an easy answer. There's definitely a desire in wrestling to reach out to combat sports because it makes it look more legitimate. Who's in there right now that just wrestled Brock and got torn apart because it was terrible? Cain Velasquez. Was Cain Velasquez?
No,
right?
That was Cain Velasquez.
Cain yeah. Velasquez confronted Brock, but Tyson Fury was also he did the garbage with Braun.
Yeah. So both of those were garbage things.
But Cain Velasquez wrestled a match.
He wrestled Brock and got beat in like a minute.
Yeah.
At that, because he was
that
hurt.
Saudi show. It was his knee.
And then there's, I mean, that goes way back though. Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn, personal friend of the show. Not Shamrock, Severn. Yeah, wrestling and UFC kind of go hand in hand. They literally trade back and forth constantly. Who do you think gets the better deal of it? Wrestling?
Of Tito Ortiz or
no, just wrestling and like MMA whenever they swap people around like Punk to their Lesnar
wrestling gets the better deal out of it.
Do they though?
I think it's
how many top tier talents can you name in WWE that came from MMA? And I'm being dead serious. We know Lesnar obviously.
Yeah,
well, no, because Lesnar went to UFC and then came
back.
We're
talking about UFC or MMA. We're just gonna say MMA as a whole.
MMA that went to wrestling.
Okay, so you have Dan Severn,
Ken Shamrock.
Baszler, Rousey,
Riddle,
Matt Riddle. God damn it, I was gonna say that one.
That was my only one. I'm sorry.
King Mo did a little bit. Lashley didn't do MMA first. Like, there's five big ones. You can say that there's only been two big names in MMA that were wrestlers first, being
Lesnar
and Lashley. Because I mean, Lashley was pretty. I mean, Strike
Del Rio. Well, I guess he only really did a couple fights, though. I don't think he was. He's more infamous than anything. Like, I wouldn't call him a successful MMA fighter.
But he hasn't been terrible. Like, he hasn't done poorly.
He is being fed pretty easy opponents, and then his last fight ended in the
right
the DQ.
Because, like, here's the thing with CM Punk. You can put the worst UFC fighter in there, but they're still a legitimate badass.
Yeah.
Like, they're still a trained athlete on how to put somebody down.
Sean O'Hare, when he left wrestling, went to MMA. And never, yeah, did you know? Never did, never did great. But he fought quite a few fights. I don't know how many he won, but he didn't have a successful career.
Because like it's the whole thing. And if you have an MMA guy that has a good look, there's going to be a place for him in wrestling because it's scripted. So you can make anybody look good,
right?
In wrestling, as long as they're willing to do the work in the match, there you can make anybody look good. Whereas in MMA, it's a put up or shut up kind of thing.
Yeah, you go in swinging.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if CM Punk doesn't want to lose to Brock Lesnar. He's like, I want to win. Well, if it's written that you're going to lose, you're going to lose. And you're going to make whoever you're losing look good, or else you're going to look like a piece of shit.
Would you say that there is a difference in size? When you have a guy who is a heavyweight fighting like a bantamweight, there's the heavyweight would have the advantage?
Every time, yeah.
Told you. We had an hour-long argument yesterday with me, her, Calvin, and was it Zach Kurgis? Where they did not believe me that, because Calvin's like, there shouldn't be weight classes. I'm like, no, there are specifically reasons there are weight classes.
So, like, here's the thing. You can put, like, old, like, tough man competitions didn't matter.
I brought that up.
Yeah, like, Hoyce Gracie, there's a reason he won, like, the first two UFC tournaments is because they weren't trained fighters. They were just a bunch of, like,
they were just big.
They were just big dudes that could throw punches. Yeah. Where, like, Hoyce Gracie could take their arm and rip it clean the fuck off. Where nowadays, like, if I was to put, like, even put boxing into it, like, if I put Mike Tyson in his prime versus Floyd Mayweather in his prime, and I had them fight each other, Floyd would die every time.
I think that would actually be a better fight than somebody like Lesnar going, or no, let's pick a really good one, Overeem, like, or one of those guys.
You could have Uriah Faber, who is an amazing bantam and featherweight.
Yeah. But if he fought
in his prime, if he fought Brock Lesnar, there's only so much you can do against somebody that legitimately has over 100 pounds on you.
Told you.
To me, my argument wasn't mostly about weight classes. It was
about
where
gender.
The argument started, yes.
Oh, it was a long argument.
Are we talking about women fighting men?
We started
men
on
fighting women. Did I say it in the wrong order?
No. It started with the Nyla Rose stuff. We were discussing.
God, this is the most off the rails pressing a script we've done in a minute.
It's fun though.
All right, go ahead. All right, Nyla Rose.
But
let's get on this.
Anyway, no, that's just where the argument started, and then it went to weight classes and kind of wrestling in the same way. In that, like, what I said was like you could have a Rey Mysterio fight a Brock Lesnar because it's scripted. But
we're an entertainment event, yes.
But in a legitimate fight, if you had a guy the size of Rey Mysterio fight the size of a guy like Brock Lesnar, and you're on equal levels of ability, like you have a great heavyweight versus a great bantamweight, the heavyweight's going to have the advantage every time. It doesn't matter how fast they are. If they get caught.
Yeah, you're getting hit with somebody that has over 100 pounds of momentum, which turns into like 400 pounds of momentum.
But I just wanted someone to validate my argument, and I knew you'd be an easy target, so thank you. Because Asa, He's smarter than that.
He's busy playing.
He's playing Raid Shadow Legends
Raid,
right now.
I almost said Shadow Raid Legends.
This is why you're not going to get the contract.
Yeah, that's why you're not going to get that sweet ad deal. Not that I.
Did you get a deal or not?
Did you get a deal?
No. I just really enjoy Raid Shadow Legends that I downloaded on my Android phone and tablet.
You have a tablet?
I mean, it's a tablet.
Hey, let's move on.
Oh, but you have one?
No, let's move on before he loses the deal.
It's a tablet.
Who's Chris Bay? No, I know who Chris Bay is. I saw the picture. Signs with Impact. I saw a picture of him.
I think I know who that is. Yeah.
This is really, really exciting. He's someone that he was going to get signed by someone sooner rather than later. So it's cool to see Impact make the move. I just really hope that they use him well.
And I love seeing new talent come in. That's always great.
Okay, yeah, I do know who that is because I think he was on the Indie Mania.
Also, yes.
Whenever, like, Retromania
I don't know the roster, so
yeah,
I couldn't
Yeah, well, whenever Retromania was doing that thing, there was, like, a list of 32. I think he was one of them. Because I went through a lot of them and
that wouldn't be surprising, because there's a lot of people who are very high on him. It's just, like I said, it was a matter of time before he got signed.
Also, your girlfriend did post the video of the All Elite Wrestling. Because it's playing in the background right now while we're reading
She's
this.
She's good at that.
Is this the way this name is pronounced, or did you put a wrong letter? Is it Tiger Hattori or Tiget Hattori?
It's Tiger
Hattori. Yeah.
Okay. Did I screw that up?
Well, it's Tiger Hattori. Yeah. But okay. I didn't know because maybe was legitimately
his name. Tiger Hattori.
Okay. He is retired.
Yep. And like all of the footage of that retirement is just like really, really heartwarming to see because he has been so important to the Japanese wrestling scene, New Japan specifically, for such a long time. Like generations of talent have had matches reffed by Tiger Hattori. And so to see him, like, it's a very, very well earned. And, like, there's all sorts of people who are posting tributes to him as well. Kyle O'Reilly had one. I think Chris Jericho posted one as well. Just, like, it's super
heartwarming.
Cool to see. Yeah. It's nice to see someone who seems to be a genuinely good person be treated with the respect that they deserve.
I agree. Also, in that video, you got a better look at Brandi Rhodes' figure. It also looks like she teared up when they handed it to her.
Yeah, so that's Sadie, sweet. Yeah, Sadie's sending me, like, screenshots.
I saw the video. I watched it without sound, but there's a clip of him handing Chris Jericho his figure, and he's like, another one of these fucking things?
Yeah, he just throws it in the pile.
Yeah, it's just like, add it to the pile.
He's just, Chris Jericho. Oh, thank God.
Oh, shit. He is... Oh, no, it's still only three. I was about to say, holy shit, he's one of the people that's had four different figures by four different companies. That's,
I mean, when you say companies, do you mean toy companies or wrestling companies?
Well, toy companies definitely four, wrestling companies only three. Wrestling companies, WCW, he had the Lion Tamer figure, mm-hmm. WWE.
Multiple.
Fucking everywhere.
And AEW.
And now AEW.
Did they not do...
Because, like, Sabu, not Sabu, Raven has the most out of anybody.
ECW as
ECW,
well.
ECW, WCW, WWE.
Impact.
Oh. Does he have an Impact figure?
There's a Raven Impact figure. Toy Biz did it. Yeah. And then I think, like, Bubba Ray Dudley, I think the Dudleys also have that,
so,
too.
Not to make this show about toys all the time, but,
well,
legitimate
we're
question.
Here and
do they do wrestling toys in Japan?
Yeah.
Did they never make a Chris Jericho maybe for, like, Wrestle Kingdom or anything like that? Also, did you hear about the Wrestle Kingdom reference on Black-ish?
Yeah, Sadie mm-hmm. showed me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, the wrestling figures in Japan are more statuesque. Like, they're about the same size as, like, a WWE figure, but, like, they don't really move. Mm. And they do them all the time. Like, you can get a fuck ton of Nakamura's before you went to WWE. Takahashi has a lot. Or Tanahashi. Takahashi probably has some, too. But, like, they do them a lot. Time Bomb's a really cool, like, character.
I just like Takahashi. Tanahashi. Well, Takahashi,
that's one,
too.
That's one that would have a, like, really great, like, entrance grate with his jacket.
Yeah. But, like, Super 7, they don't do a lot of articulated ones.
So they're more like just statues.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Super 7, they're doing New Japan figures that are, like, on par with WWE Elite's articulation-wise. Probably going to be better because it's Super 7. But, yeah.
Has NECA ever done wrestling?
Nope, and I want them to stay far the fuck away from it.
Just price-wise?
No, their prices are really good. I don't like NECA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they owned Hastings for a while.
Don't listen, baby.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they had so many NECA figures out there.
Yeah, there's a reason. The parent company of NECA bought us, and we became NECA's cum dumpster. They just sent us all the toys that, like, they couldn't sell.
I bought most of them. You probably did, too. Let's move
no,
on.
I don't have. I do not own a single NECA.
I think we have some NECAs, don't we? Because the turtles.
I think so. Yeah.
The turtles are NECAs.
That's the only ones I want.
Yeah. Anyway. Fucking NECA, I guess.
You have a bunch.
I has lots of NECA.
I have a lot of Diamond Select now.
Wait, nope, never mind. I got confused.
Are you about
myself
to ask me about mine?
Nope, I was going to. I thought for a brief second that NECA did the Ninja Turtle Batman crossover figures, but they did not. Those were just exclusives through GameStop.
Yep.
They weren't NECA.
DC Collectibles did those.
Yeah, because I was getting those confused with the 90s figures that are also GameStop exclusives that are NECA. And so GameStop exclusive turtle figure, my brain just connected those two waves, even though they are highly
actually,
different
I might,
figures.
I might own a wave of NECAs, but only four.
Gosh, Dalton, all this talk of toys really sounds like it's your NECA the woods. Please don't.
I'm switching sides. My 1, 2, 3 cents all the way.
Yeah. Shannon Young. Kevin.
It was only a matter of time. Let's be honest.
I hope he's listened this far for this part.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so it's a little redemption. Last thing.
You can't hear us over the sobbing in the shower.
And that's just his wife.
It's going to be a
No.
Was that too much?
Too much. Yeah, yeah, there it is. There's a line.
All right. I apologize. I apologize now.
We're going to cut that out. Mark the timestamp.
Hour and... No, she's crying because she realized how much better he is than me.
There it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's so sad because I exist.
She feels so bad for you that it's okay.
Yeah. And Allie, because she has to go home with me when I drop her off. We're not dating. Yeah, we are.
No,
wait,
you're
what?
Not.
Raid Shadow Legends.
Do you know Sergeant Slaughter wasn't actually in?
Son of a bitch.
That's good shit.
Sasha Banks, last thing. Potentially, because it's been reported, but it hasn't been verified.
There's been a lot, and there's also been a lot of conflicting rumors that go ranging anywhere from she filmed scenes for The Mandalorian season 2 all the way to she just visited set because she's friends with some of the people who work on the show.
There's reports that she watched the entire season.
I have big if true. Big if true.
I think she'd fit in there. I think it would be cool.
I mean, someone on
it'd
Reddit
be a one-off
like,
character.
Someone on Reddit said, is she a good enough actress to be on The Mandalorian season 2. And my response to that, which I didn't type out because it's talking ill of The Mandalorian, so I would just get downvoted to hell, is, I'm sorry, did you see season 1 of The Mandalorian? She could be a terrible actress and she would fit right in. Because there were some characters in that first season that were bad at their job.
Cara Dune.
She was awesome.
Gina Carano.
I liked
no,
her.
No, she's awesome.
Well, no, he's talking about the spaceship episode.
No, the spaceship episode. Like there were some people that, like the lady who with the droids that was like working on the ship when they landed that one time,
which is insane because it's Amy Sedaris,
you know? Yeah,
who's a fantastic comedic actress. I couldn't like
she didn't nail it.
She was on what was she on that we
Kimmy
liked so much?
Schmidt.
Kimmy Schmidt, yeah. And no, when I mentioned Gina Carano, I meant more of the fact that that was just a terrible place to put her name of sports athletes transitioning over to The Mandalorian, because I thought she did a great job as that character. So I could easily see Sasha Banks fitting in. Sasha Banks clearly has the charisma to do acting.
I have a predisposition to not liking Amy Sedaris, so that might play into it.
Is it because of the... what was she in? Strangers with Candy?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw Strangers with Candy as a kid because it would show up on Comedy Central every once in a while. And it, for whatever reason, I had just this irrational hatred of her as a 10-year-old. And that has just like, I just...
To be fair, I never really
Angelo
found strange.
It's Angelo Dawkins mixing Star the whole thing. Like, I don't know why. I can't get past that initial gut reaction that I had.
I was never a fan of Strangers with Candy or the Upright Citizens Brigade. I know a lot of people are going to go, what? But I wasn't. Or Kids in the Hall, actually. I was a Mr. Show guy.
Easy there.
Sorry. All right. So that's going to do it for the news portion of it. Let's really quick talk about NXT Portland. I'm sure you guys want to mention that. Or we don't. We'll just wrap the show up now.
No,
you
I mean,
tell me.
It was a really good show. It's just I think the internet is starting to kind of sour on the NXT.
I did see
format.
The Matthew thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because and he makes a good point of it's just like, and we were even talking about it in that main event.
Oh God, how angry like, did I get?
Okay, at a certain point, like nothing means anything anymore. Like you would have hated that main event.
I read about apparently he took a Panama Sunrise out on the floor, and then 10 seconds later was back in control of the match.
He took the tag team, the Red Dragon finisher, the high-low. He took that,
yeah,
and then rolled him back in the ring, and he immediately kicked out of it. So it's just like, yeah, at a certain point, like, it was stupid amounts of fun to watch. It's always stupid amounts of fun to watch Dijakovic and Lee just move, like, in ways that big men like that should not be able to do. He hit, like, it wasn't a Falcon Arrow. But it or not a Falcon Arrow.
Jackhammer?
Red Arrow.
Oh, did he?
He did that. Dijak did that super stupid flippy spiral tap-esque.
Oh, yeah. It was, I think
move.
It was a spiral tap. But
Keith Lee is the future of this industry. I'm
yes.
saying now.
Yeah. I mean, hot take. Whoa.
He is
big
the,
if true.
He is the
big
hybrid.
Big boy if true.
He's the hybrid everybody always wanted of like, why can't we have a guy that's a heavyweight but still moves like a cruiserweight? Here's Keith Lee.
And yeah. Dijakovic.
Yeah. Have him.
Bask in his glory.
Feast your eyes.
It's so good. So that match was really, really good. I really didn't want the Broserweights to win the titles, but the tag match was probably my favorite match of the night.
Well, plus you got that amazing Randy Orton tweet.
That was hilarious. At first I didn't get it. Now I do.
Congratulations.
Fuck off.
Yeah. It's Matt Riddle.
And Matt Riddle responded, is just like, woke up to this. Randy Orton's the fucking coolest.
Yeah. Because he's just like, at first I hated you. I didn't get it. Now I get it. Fuck off.
Yeah.
My favorite was Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai, the street fight.
Which was a really, really great
they
match.
They decided they were like, yeah, we're going to have a street fight. All right.
And like, all right, let's
like,
do it.
We're going to have a street fight. We're going to go through barricades. We're going to fucking...
It was brutal. Like, yeah, it started off like great, too, because like Dakota attacked her during the entrance, which made
which
a ton
makes
of sense.
So much sense. Like, I hate... And we've talked about it before, mm-hmm, that criticism of like when you have two guys who or women
blood
or whatever,
feud, but they have to go through the pomp and
the
circumstance
full
of their
entrances.
Entrance.
Yeah, no, fuck that. Yeah. Fight's a fight. Yeah.
I liked that. I liked the like Tegan Nox like had the match won and was still like, no, you real fucked me, so... I'm not done.
The only thing that was bad about that match was the I am the table spot.
Mm-hmm. Which that ended up trending on Twitter.
That was fucking rough.
I like, missed that one.
That looks scary.
She got chokeslammed from the top rope by...
Raquel Gonzalez?
Yeah. She interrupted. She chokeslammed her from the top rope to the table.
Didn't go through it?
The table went this way instead of... It
like, instead
out
of her
under,
going through it...
It just flipped.
It did one of those, and it looked real bad.
Bad, like, 2 weeks for women go through tables. The Riho and Nyla Rose, where she slammed, she just bounced off.
Mm-hmm. The table. So, yeah, those were the tag match and the street fight were probably my two favorite matches Although they're really – again, it's NXT. There wasn't a bad match on the card. It's just they're constantly trying – the NXT main events are always like 30 minutes –
finisher like 20 fest, minutes plus infinite finishers.
Yeah, and it's just it's almost formulaic at this point where it's hard to buy into anything. Like, because you were losing your mind, like, how are they kicking out? And I'm just like, and it's like, there's got to be something fucky. Like, something's, this match will not end clean. There's no way. And now they're like, Triple H has got that real, like, no, we are getting a Ciampa Gargano match. I don't care what anyone says. Just now, Gargano's the heel.
That is a problem in the industry as a whole, especially WWE, that finishers as regular moves. Mm-hmm. How long have I been bitching about that in every match? It's a pay-per-view, so of course they hit more finishers. That's stupid.
Yeah.
That is so stupid.
I like the William Regal school of thought that any move could finish a match.
Yeah.
Like, more matches should end on a wild DDT.
Yeah. Or a punch or a kick, something that really clocks somebody.
And then a signature move can finish matches and regularly do finish matches. Imagine if Sami Zayn regularly put people away with the Blue Thunder Bomb. Then when Michael Cole loses his mind because someone kicked out of the Blue Thunder Bomb, it would actually make sense. But it doesn't make any sense now because he's literally never pinned anyone on the main roster with it.
Yeah, it's the reason that, like,
and then you have a finisher that is the finish.
That is the finale.
That is a guaranteed, like, if they hit that, they don't hit it all the time, but when they do, it's done.
That's why, like, Pac, whenever he was the king of the cruiserweights, is Neville. Yeah. That's why that was so fucking brilliant.
Because no one kicked out of the Black Arrow.
Ever. And he didn't use it all the time.
Yeah.
It was a very, like, I think you would only pretty much see it on pay-per-views. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he hit it a whole lot on 205 Live. And it's like, no, that's how you protect a finisher.
Right.
Nobody was ever going to, and that, like, and even when it was the Red Arrow, that move was fucking super protected. Like, the Coloss that Jinder Mahal had. Everybody shits on Jinder Mahal a lot. There was a short time whenever he had that WWE title. That fucking finisher was sacred.
Right.
Like, yeah, he would. There would be some fuckery to get somebody in the Coloss. But when he hit that move, that was lights out.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of bullshit after it. But, like, I was only getting angry because then it got to a certain point of it being fucking silly.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, was it like Rise of the Dragon or something like that? Or whatever they call it, they hit the tag finisher and they kicked out. And I was like, motherfuck. Yeah.
It's like Cena getting DDT'd onto the exposed concrete, rolls into the ring, and then still kicks out.
Yeah.
Adam Cole is harder to put down than Brock Lesnar or The Fiend. He just doesn't kick out as early.
Yeah.
Like, that's just...
I hate it.
I know. Yeah, and it's like... And, like, typically I love those kind of matches, but at this point we're kind of getting a little oversaturated with it.
Because it's every NXT main event.
Like, that's... Honestly, like, the women's title match, it wasn't my favorite match of the night, but it was almost refreshing because Rhea Ripley hit the ripcord once.
Yeah.
And that's what did it.
That's what a fucking finisher should be.
But even that match almost felt underwhelming because it was just kind of like, oh, she hit her finisher. Like, that's not a good reaction to
have. I think Keith Lee did the same thing, though. He hit his finisher just one time. I don't think he hit it twice. He went for it like 30 times. But every time he did, Dijak started hitting him in the jaw.
Is the Spirit Bomb not also his finisher?
I don't think so, no.
Is that just signature?
I think
it's
a signature, yeah.
Because there was a certain spot that you would have not liked. It's hard for me to recommend the Dijak or the Dijakovic Lee match.
That's crazy to me because you I love Lee so much. Like, why would I not want to watch it?
But Lee also wrestles in that style.
There's a certain point that Lee powerbombs Dijakovic.
Oh, God!
And when he bounces for the bump, he immediately flips up and lands on his feet and is like, very, very angry about the fact that he just got powerbombed.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It was badass looking.
Oh, yeah, because I popped
but
so
But, like, for
hard
the rest of the night, that was just kind of, like, that's the tone that you get for an NXT match.
My philosophy on wrestling, what I like in wrestling is when it feels like a real fight.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I don't like Orange Cassidy. That's the reason I don't like some of these things is because, and I know, like, it's just my preferred style.
Right.
I try not to be the guy that shits on things because he doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I a spot like that I would maybe forgive in the context of, like, these guys are going at it, he hits the powerbomb and he gets up and he's pissed, maybe I could forgive that.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing about the main event, I could not forgive that because that they're such good athletes, and I feel like finishers as a regular move in storytelling a match is just lazy at this point.
And it's
uninspired.
It kind of blows my mind a little about, not that's way too extreme, never mind. It's a little surprising to me about how you feel about, like, the real fight style when so much of 80s wrestling was goofy as shit.
Yeah.
Like, if someone came on the scene right now and his thing was that the more you punched him, the stronger he got.
But I have an answer to that.
He wasn't Hulk Hogan hulked up.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, I mean,
I was a kid.
Well, yeah. And
if you would have shown me 80s wrestling as an adult,
right,
I would have been like.
But if you were a kid watching now, Orange Cassidy would be your shit.
If I was a kid right now and Orange Cassidy was on screen, I would be losing my shit about how much I loved him. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's a era thing.
And it's not just like, I'm not trying to pick on Hogan specifically. Like, it's when you go back and watch some of those matches, yeah. Like, not all of those matches were the hard-hitting slugfest people like Cornette would have you believe.
No, so not every match in that era was Savage versus Steamboat. Like, there was, you know, who else existed in that time period? Not right at that time period, but
fucking,
somewhere around it.
Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire.
Papa Shango.
Van Hammer.
Fuck Van Hammer.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who was just the superhuman of his time with less, like, ability to take squat. Because he was, no, I'm not going to say it. Simple. I hate Superhuman, too. I hate him in the sense that, like,
I have a really funny superhuman story.
More than anything,
show.
Though, in one of the only times I legitimately agree with Jim Cornette, mm-hmm. his argument of someone is recording these and someone is letting this person who's clearly not, like, completely.
It feels like someone is taking advantage.
Someone's
of
exploiting
and it's
the
his
shit
parents.
Out of him.
Yeah,
probably.
I
don't know enough.
He did Tosh.0 whenever he first started, and he said his parents film it.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That is absolutely terrible. They're taking advantage of him, and that's terrible. That is terrible. Because he wants to live his dream. He wants to be a...
Right.
And he is.
Right.
But for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it's not in a great way.
Anyway, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to shout out is the Matt Hardy, Randy Orton stuff on Raw.
It's been
incredible.
Yeah, we should definitely bring back the one thing you want people to watch this week. Yours is Randy Orton and Matt Hardy.
Honestly, a lot of it is Raw. Like, Raw's been really good the last couple weeks. Because the Randy Orton stuff has been... I'm the biggest Randy Orton fan of the group. I think that's pretty easy for me to say.
And I'm probably the biggest Matt Hardy fan of the group.
Before
Matt Hardy, legit... So when they
Matt Hardy was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. Like, I've always liked him better than Jeff.
Me too.
Like, I've always thought... I've always been like, well, no, Jeff does a lot of cool, stupid stuff, but Matt Hardy's the wrestler.
Matt's the money.
Like, even as a kid, I was like, no, yeah, Matt Hardy. So, but no, we can share that.
Okay.
We will hold hands in our praise of Matt Hardy.
Yes.
But like, it's been great. This is a fantastic run for Orton.
That's what I was going to ask. So I didn't get to see the segment, but what I read, cause I want to go watch it because I heard it was good.
All of it. You should literally watch the Edge. If you haven't seen the Edge segment, watch that.
I did see that.
Watch last week's segment.
I saw
and
that.
Now watch this one.
It sounded like the way that it was typed out when I read the report was that Matt Hardy basically presented himself to Edge and said, finish it. Is that true?
Kind of, but not really. Like, he kind of dared him to, like, oh, you want to, okay, if you were establishing yourself that you're basically just a piece of shit, then be a piece of shit. Come on. Like, what's wrong with you? You did it to Edge, do it to me.
And then he
did. What's wrong with you? And Orton initially said no, but then he went. Orton is doing this phenomenally. I love Orton in this. Also, I know a lot of people are kind of getting stale with it, and I get that. But it's still great to me, the Monday Night Messiah stuff.
This is his best work in a while.
Yeah, this is the most I've loved Rollins in a real long time.
Yeah, he's a great delusional bastard.
Yeah, and he's surrounded himself with like a good
because
group of people.
He is like Dalton. He just has that natural smarmy attitude, which, by the way, the cashier at Dollar General confirmed when we were over there. Because I mentioned it to Dalton that like you have this natural smarmy like want to punch you face. And the cashier went, yeah. Legit happened.
Yay!
In a good way, because they were like, "You are nice, but
every time you walk into my store, I want to just
punch." Because I said, "I was like, well, fuck." This whole time, I thought I've actually been kind of like a nice person my whole life, and she was like, "No, you're nice, but like,
I'm gonna punch you."
Yeah.
So congratulations, buddy! You made
Kevin
it.
Just won.
He already won.
Yes.
My thing is
not
should,
us.
You should go watch is Poppy's intro. Was that yours?
Yeah.
All right, we'll share it.
Okay.
Fucking chills.
Because no, I don't like chills. I guess chills. I could talk in his voice when I talk about Poppy. I lost my ability to do chills.
Who the fuck is chills?
I'll send you a video tonight.
Don't fucking do that. Don't fucking do that.
At like midnight.
But yeah,
Poppy, I'll be asleep. I'll be the fuck asleep.
Poppy's intro was real good.
You'll feel it.
She's always fun. Dalton, what's yours?
Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai. I love that match. I'm a fan of street fights. That was a really fucking good
one.
We
know. Those gifts are floating around.
Yeah, like there's an art to them when done correctly. It wasn't it was just weapony enough to be like, yeah, this is different. But then there was enough storytelling in there that I was like, this is good.
That it wasn't just a trash match?
Yeah, no, it was a well thought out match.
If she really wants to be Lady Kane, she should have set her on fire. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Agreed.
That reminds me of this character I unlocked in Raid Shadow Legends.
Lady Kane?
Lady Kane. It's dude, a dragon, probably.
I lost so much energy after the fucking AEW figure announcement tonight.
Hey, you blew your load. Now you're like, your period has kicked in.
I was very sports entertained and erect. So, what's our...
big rumor is that they're going to bring back Brodus Clay for WrestleMania. And I'm saying, please don't.
There's no way.
Who's reporting that?
That's one of the things. It's a rumor is that Brodus Clay and Cameron are coming back, and they think it's going to be for Naomi to do a thing with all of them together again to revive the Funkasaurus and the Funkadelics. Yeah, and again, please don't
Funkadactyls.
Funkadelics. I'm thinking of George Funk.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of P-Funk. But don't do that because you know who's really good on her own?
Naomi.
Yeah.
When you let her do stuff, she's a
she's awesome.
Gym.
She's so cool. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Asa, hit us with those links.
Facebook.com/Twitter 198.
Whoa!
Allie, do it. I give
what?
Up. Allie, I just stroked
hit
out.
Hit us with those links.
Google Podzilla 1985.
God damn.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. Thank you guys for tuning in. Later.